a day.
First thing will be change the zone, number 1765, Red Mill Point LLC.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, the first item under old business is change of zone 1765, which is Red Mill Point LLC. It's an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 29,289 square feet, more or less, for land lying northeast of Route 1 Coastal Highway across from Red Mill Pond. The 911 address was not available. The tax map ID is District 334, map number 1, parcel number 5. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on March 12th of 2015 and made a decision on April 9th of 2015. County Council held a public hearing on April 21st of 2015. In the Commission's recommendation on April 9th, Mr. Burton stated he would move that the Commission recommend denial of change of zone 1765 for Red Mill Point LLC for a change in zone from AR1 to CR1 based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the applicant did not create an adequate record supporting the need to rezone this property from AR1 to CR1. Two, one of the main reasons stated by the applicant for the rezoning was the need to relocate a septic system from an adjacent property to this property. The use of the property for a septic system does not require commercial zoning. Three, the applicant stated that there are several other possible future uses for the property that may require commercial zoning. No definite reason or use was given for the change in zone. The change in zone should not be granted based upon speculative future needs of the property owner. Three, the applicant stated that it would like to combine this parcel with an existing property next door, which is already zoned commercial. While this is often a consideration of the commission, it usually happens in situations where the entire tract of land has a regular shape or where a single existing tract has multiple zonings. Here, the applicant acquired the property separately from its existing property, and the combination of it with the existing property does not create a regular shape that will lend it to uniform properties or uniform boundaries of a commercial zoning district. So combining these parcels does not justify the change in zone. Five, the applicant has not explained a clear need for the change in zone to CR1 in this location or why the existing AR1 zoning or a conditional use is not appropriate for the site. And six, the site, which is a standalone parcel, given its shape and 29,289 square foot size, is not adequately sized for CR1 zoning and the possible uses allowed in that district. Therefore, we had a motion by Mr. Burton, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried with 3-1, with Mr. Ross opposing the motion to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be denied for the reasons stated. Mr. Wheatley is abstaining since he was not present during the public hearing. Just to add to that, in the council public hearing process, the council had asked in their deferral for a copy of a more recent survey. The issue was that DLDOT originally had stated that they wanted probably the front half of this property for dedication to Route 1. So in the process of that, we did receive additional comments from Mr. Dukes on behalf of Tunnel and Razor for the applicants and also from DLDOT. So if I may, I'll short phrase two letters. The first one being from Mr. Dukes. It gave reference to the property owner. At the hearing, the matter was tabled because of concern regarding the first 100 foot of the property potentially being part of a highway improvement. We have been working with the highway department for a number of months and have finally received a letter saying there is no immediate plan to widen the highway in front of this property. Given this fact, the board could now vote on the matter. In reference to the Delta comment, it was written to the owner, which was Dr. George Dahl, and that was back in November 6th and again in December 2nd. Per conversation, this property and gave the tax map number, gives reference to the location. The subject is the policies of the Carter Capacity Preservation Program. Program's primary goal is to manage and preserve the capacity of the existing highway, and in this case, that would be Route 1 Coastal Highway. The parcel can gain access to U.S. Route 1 via connection to the existing entrance on the adjacent property, which is actually owned by the applicant, Red Mill Point LLC. Gave reference to that tax map number, which depicts a connection between the two properties. From a Carter Capacity Preservation Program standpoint, a small professional doctor's office would be acceptable since the proposal would generate relatively low daily traffic volumes. To proceed with the proposal, you would have to obtain the proper zoning from Sussex County. If proper zoning is granted, then you would apply for a permit through DelDOT subdivision section, which would be an entrance permit. And then they provide an electronic version of the preservation program. Future projects for U.S. Route 1 are listed on the website, and at this time, there is no immediate plan to widen the highway in front of your property. And that was signed by professional engineer Thomas Felice. The survey that council requested shows the whole parcel, and it includes what happened. If I can, I can pass out a copy of the tax map. It's the easiest thing to review.
If you look at parcel number 5, which I've highlighted in yellow, the adjacent property owned by the same party is parcel number 6.7, which actually sits back 100 feet back off of Route 1 compared to the adjacent property.
Is that because the state at one time took 100 feet from that?
Yes.
Those two parcels, with the anticipation.
And then 100 foot off the adjoining parcels.
Right.
And now basically they're saying there's no immediate plans to take any additional right of way.
I have a question too.
Mrs. Deaver?
If the reason is that because of DelDOT's possible plans to widen that road, these folks want a piece of property to relocate their septic, I understand, because they have lost it. They will lose it due to DelDOT needing that space. But why would you have to have it? My question, why would you have to have CR1?
The septic that they will lose is already in the state right-of-way, which was taken off of parcel 6.7. So that if the DelDOT makes any improvements there, they would have to relocate their septic.
That's right.
Onto this
That's
parcel.
What I understand. That's their reason.
But it actually exists in the state right of way in front of parcel 6.07 by agreement with DelDOT. It's a temporary situation.
Okay, but then why does that lot need rezoning then?
Their intent is to relocate the septic and add additional parking to serve the offices that already exist.
Okay, so they
the part that already exists, 6.07 and 6.01, are improved by offices now.
Okay, so they're talking about this is commercial use. Okay.
What questions of council? Mr. Arnett?
One quickie. Mr. Lake, the in your estimation on these parcels that are bought by DelDOT when they're widening and improving of the roads, and when they pay for those, is there a difference of monies, of value, that they pay based on the zoning?
Now, I'm sure there is. It's based on the improvements that exist on that property that they're having to purchase. And in this case, I don't know what they paid for it specifically, but the septic system that serves parcel 6.07 is actually now sitting in the state right away that all that purchased. And there's agreement to allow it to stay there until such time as construction took place to improve Route 1.
Yeah, but I mean, improvements are different than zoning. So, I mean, if it's
that's
agriculture and there's a septic in there, that's one thing. If it's commercial and there's a septic in there, I mean, you got the same improvements on that same parcel, but it's zoned differently. So I'm wondering if they look at the zoning and carry a different value to that when it comes from DelDOT's perspective.
The one thing I would look at in relationship, not necessarily to DelDOT, but to this parcel, and this is almost in disagreement with the commission recommendation based on vague presentation. If you looked at the map, you can see that the properties surrounding this, except to the rear, are all C1 general commercial.
I see that.
Yeah, scroll down. It seems like they, right. DelDOT had a great idea to do some widening. They picked out those other two parcels and took the land, and then the plan just kind of got shelved and dropped. So you look along there, they didn't do it anywhere else. I mean, it just shows that DelDOT's not planning very well. I think they made a mistake and jumped the gun and bought a little chunk of land, which will never, you know, anyway, spent some money. And
I don't think they ever bought it, George. I think they just took it.
They negotiated and talked. Oh, I don't know where they took it. Well, I don't care how they got it. That was between the owners and the DelDOT. That's not my problem. But I'm just saying, when you look at the county map here that we're looking at, I think that their grand plan has been shelved, and it doesn't look like there's any plan anymore to do anything.
Right.
They spent some money or got it free or whatever. But
this will not be the first time they've ever taken land that they're not really supposed to.
And it won't be the last.
Right. But
I found that I've been involved in this. I found that it's dishonest. They're really taking land that's not honestly taken, and they're not buying it, just taking it.
That's another day, another problem.
I know I worked on Mr. Smith one time. The same thing happened here. You know what happened there, Mr. Lang. Arnold Smith came in here, remember, he got his land back. You said it was one of the few times you ever did that.
On Route 1, or Route 9, or Route 18, 404.
Yeah, I was back on that land, I guess you call it that'd be the old Furnace Road. back where Gums Cross Road.
Yeah, better memory than I do, Sam.
All right. Well, anyway.
Any more questions on this?
Yes, sir. Real quick, and I see, I mean, I'm looking at the surrounding parcels on page 8 of our packet here, and they are red, of course, i.e. they're commercial. So I know that the Planning and Zoning Commission had denied this application. The recommendation is to deny it. But the reality is all the other parcels are surrounding this are commercial. So could you address what other buildings are, what are there on those other parcels, on the surrounding parcels?
Well, there are. Actually, all these parcels went through the rezoning process and got rezoned individually.
Right.
There are professional offices. There's a couple of complexes there. There's all the C1 to the north next to number, which is a part of number 4, goes to the center line of Canary Creek. And that parcel was the old mill site that was on Red Mill Pond, which I believe now is pretty much tumbled. I don't think it's there anymore. I know that two or three of the parcels are improved by professional offices, either contractor's offices.
Right.
Actually, the in back of this project is Greystone Manor, and one of those parcels was actually the office and construction company offices for Wilson Construction.
And then I know again, I'm reading this, and I just want to make sure I have a full understanding. And that would be that the Planning and Zoning Commission stated that there was not enough. Proof provided to them for the need to change it?
I think the applicants, and they came in and did their presentation, were looking at a parcel that was betwixt and between rezonings that have already taken place.
Right.
That the zonings, both all those parcels are actively used commercially, except for the mill site, but it is commercial also. But the presentation was very vague. That was the whole point of the commission, I believe.
Right, but my point, though, is even if they did, okay, let's say that the applicant, you know, presented what they want to build on this particular parcel, and they made a decision based on what was presented to them, there is still no requirement for them to build or to do what they presented.
Exactly right.
What's the point, I guess, is
my... You only give consideration of this as an appropriate location for the rezoning of this property to CR1.
Which is Route 1.
On Route 1, yeah. Mm-hmm. Between right. 5 other commercial parcels.
Right.
It's infill.
Okay, thank you.
No, I just have, well, I don't know. This is a business that's running. He's got a number of tenants, and I'm trying to visualize why we would not rezone. Is it such a should DelDOT want that extra setback? Could it, I mean, you know, that's what it seems to me that I'm not hearing that the business would have to shut down if we don't rezone that.
No.
However,
I haven't said that.
Yeah, okay, then I do understand what, and so, I mean, all right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions? Mr. Moore, would you read a short title, please?
Yes, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 29,289 square feet, more or less.
Make a motion to adopt CZ 1765.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second. Mr. Wilson. To adopt change of zone 1765. Any questions on the motion?
Yes, sir. Just to clarify, we are voting on the recommendation from the planning and zoning, correct?
No.
We're voting on we are voting to approve change of zone.
Okay.
Or okay. Deny.
Right? Just want to make sure that we have the
not
proper verbiage.
Not on the recommendation,
here.
No.
Okay.
They thank made you. A recommendation.
Correct.
Any more questions from council?
Yeah.
We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
I think it can be rezoned and should be rezoned. It's infill. And on Route 1, and so absolutely, I'm for the rezoning.
Mr. Cole?
I believe that the DelDOT concerns have been addressed. DelDOT has noted that they do not want any more land to acquire in that area for widening, and that it's an infill parcel, and it will not affect the characteristics of the neighborhood. Although, yes.
Charlotte?
You know, again, looking at the bigger picture, looking at all the surrounding commercial properties, in the way our current code is written, I see no reason not to approve this, despite the recommendation from Planning and Zoning. So, therefore, I will vote yes.
Wilson.
I vote yes, and I see no reason why not vote yes, because the state's already given back to them for a reason, so it's okay.
Also, I think it is an infill. There's CR1 or C1 on both sides of it. It makes sense to have it all C1. I'll vote yes, motion carried. Mm-hmm. Next, Mr. Lang.
Yes, thank you. The next application is conditional use number 2017, the application of Eli and Victoria Zachariah. It's an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 22,500 square feet, more or less. This property is located northwest of John J. Williams Highway, Route 24, 365 feet southwest of Spencer Lane, the entrance into Hart's Landing subdivision. The 911 address is 20336 John J. Williams Highway, Lewis. Tax map ID is District 334, Map 18, Parcel 7. On this application, the Commission held public hearing on August 13th of 2015. Rendered their decision on September 24th of 2015. County Council public hearing was on September 22nd of 2015. In the Commission's recommendation, Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend denial of conditional use 2017 for Eli and Victoria Zachariah for multifamily dwelling structures based on the record made during the public hearing for the following reasons. One, the site is extremely small for two separate dwellings. There is not sufficient room for the parking required for the two separate dwellings, and the buildings are very close to Route 24, which makes vehicular movement on the site and to Route 24 unsafe. Two, there are no multifamily dwelling structures in the immediate vicinity of this parcel. The applicant has not made a sufficient record to justify the approval of two dwellings. At one time, the applicant stated that the second unit would be occupied by the applicant's family, but the applicant also testified that it may be used for the applicant's employees. Mm-hmm. Four, the applicant has not made a clear record on how the use will be compatible with the surroundings or how it would not adversely affect neighboring properties or traffic. Five, the application does not satisfy the purposes and requirements of a conditional use under Sussex County Zoning Code And six, for all these reasons, there is not a sufficient reason to recommend approval of this conditional use application. There was a motion by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. Burton, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be denied for those reasons stated. And that motion did carry 5-0. And if I may add, the council on September 22nd of 2015 did defer action on this application and requested a feasibility study from Denrec that their current septic capacity is adequate for the proposed use, a two-unit multifamily dwelling structure, the existing dwelling with a conversion of the garage into an apartment. So it's not two separate dwellings. It's a house with a garage, and the garage is being converted to an apartment. On December 30th of 2015, Denrec issued permit number 231402 to upgrade the existing septic system to allow an increase in the number of bedrooms from 4 to 5 bedrooms. And on January 8th of 2016, a certificate of satisfactory completion was issued for the upgrade. So in reference to the council request, Denrec's gone in, reviewed a feasibility study for improving the septic. The septic has been improved and has been completed to satisfy the requirements of Denrec. Denrec.
The question I would have, didn't we, a number of years ago, didn't we create a garage apartment type of thing? Where,
but that's a separate
board of
building.
Adjustment?
That has to be a separate building, not attached. Garage studio apartment is a separate building on the same lot that's been used for an apartment.
I never knew we required it to be separate.
It's not restricted. You could actually rent it, or you could have a family member in it. It doesn't have to have the combined utilities.
Right.
Typically, a house with a guest house has to be all hooked into the same system.
We actually specified that it had to be a separate, because I know, and you know,
that's been the interpretation since we've been going to the Board of Adjustment with those type applications.
I know, because the intent was, I think, if you had a garage or a single family home in a community that didn't have a homeowner association that didn't put any restrictions on doing it, right? That they could go, somebody could go to the Board of Adjustment. We were trying to, you know, eliminate the two-step process that
considered
we just
separate.
Went through here.
Right.
So this, you're saying that your interpretation is, or your staff is, it would have to have been a separate garage.
It's basically you've got a house and you can have a separate structure for a garage studio apartment. It's not supposed to exceed 800 square feet.
Right, all that.
So it's unattached. It does not include the garage. It does not include the porch or any accessory type improvement. It includes living quarters of 800 square feet.
Okay.
The board actually has several applications, and not that many applications since we've adopted that ordinance, as I expected, but two or three have asked for an increased square footage, which creates a variance of the 800 square foot. So we've had some that are 1,000 or 1,100 square feet.
I don't remember any, at the council, at our level, when we discussed it, that we were concerned whether it was, the garage was separated or not. But so that's just a question I'd have.
If we
might want to put that back on the agenda and reinterpret that, because if we, otherwise this application could have gone to the Board of Adjustment and taken a garage and created a garage apartment within it or above it. Or whatever, or even in a separate building.
Studio apartment is considered separate, whereby in this case it's a multifamily dwelling structure containing two units. That's different from
If the concern would be to set a precedent, I don't like to set a precedent for multifamily. So when you look at our zoning map, it says, you know, we've created a multifamily unit there. That would be the concern that, you know, that if we got approved this application, I guess we could put a condition in that they couldn't build a separate unit detached to create this multifamily thing.
It's actually the garage is what's being converted. It's not the accessory building, which is a pole-type garage.
Okay. Do you remember, was there any opposition from neighboring property owners?
There was not.
They were notified, obviously. Because
I think the record will show with the commission, the council had the same basic comments.
And when these lots were created, Lawrence, do you recall, was this any older subdivision or, you know, where they, somebody had, was this part of something, part of an entity?
These lots were actually strip lots along John Day Williams Highway that were created prior to Hart's Landing, which is to the rear, which is a RPC.
More questions?
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Mr. President, on point number one here, again, I'm trying to, from the Planning and Zoning Commission, it says the site is extremely small for two separate buildings. Well, they're not looking to build a separate building, correct?
Right, it's actually the garage being converted.
But a detached garage.
That's attached to the house.
But my point is that they're not.
Detached garage.
But my point is they're not looking to build any new structures on this parcel.
No new structures.
So I'm not quite sure if that sentence even makes sense to me. There is not sufficient room for the parking required for two separate dwellings. Did DLDOT chime in on that? Is that something from DLDOT?
DLDOT's only comment when we go through the public hearing process is a support facility report, which gives us information about the traffic on Route 24 in this case, and if there's any change in level of service. It does not get into the entrance geometrics of the parcel.
Right, but my point is that appears to be a personal opinion of some sort, nothing from DLDOT.
It's nothing from DLDOT.
Okay, no. That was the question. Okay, so that takes care of that one. And I mean, there is no requirement, you know, in our code, and I don't know if that's there is or is not, but as it relates to a minimum square footage for a quote unquote dwelling,
a single family,
yes. Well, I mean, whereas this,
there's a minimum lot size when you're calculating number of units on a parcel, but it's not specifically toward the parcel,
okay.
Natural resources, it's okay at this point, correct?
Natural resources, the applicant went to Department of Natural Resources and actually obtained a revised septic permit and made the improvements per DNREC, and it was a satisfactory completion of the septic system to expand the size.
And then the other question I have is, I mean, I don't know. Do we have any information that they're already using this space as
it's already being used?
So they just kind of want to clean up the record, if you would.
It's already built.
It's done. It's being utilized, and
I don't know. I can't say it's been utilized. I don't know that, but it's completed based on the presentation I heard.
Okay, and then one last question that I think I'll be ready for a vote here. But the application that's point number five. The application does not satisfy the purposes and requirements of a conditional use. Did I miss something on that one? Could you address that?
No, the only thing stated in the conditional use reference is you have the right to apply for multifamily use of the parcel. So they have the right to apply for it.
Doesn't mean they'll get it.
Doesn't mean they're going to get it.
Right. But without this application, are they not in compliance? I mean,
if they did not have the unit already improved and they had a single family residential structure there, they would be in compliance with that portion. So the change would be the change from single to multifamily.
And then the improvements that would have been made in this unit, I assume that all building permits have been applied for.
That would have to be verified.
Why would, that'd be the question, would we issue building permits to something that was...
They could obtain a building permit to renovate and remodel internally.
Right.
And we wouldn't know what all those remodeling issues were.
Yes.
It does not...
Tricks of the trade.
I don't believe it has. It may not have a second kitchen as of right now. It may be intended.
My last thought on that, as families continue to challenge, and elders, parents, me being one of them, that have had been caretakers, there's more families living within the same roof. And I don't know exactly how our ordinance even addresses that, but I think our society is continuing to go down that path, it appears. Whether or not there's any, onus to be a family relative or not, I know that they say that they will likely do that, but there's no requirement of that. But it seems like we've made this very difficult for these folks.
If I may correct what I previously stated, I just pulled the minutes of the council because the presentation of council may have been a little bit more detailed. Mm-hmm. Applicants have an attached garage that has been remodeled for extra living space with a kitchen. That became the multifamily use by putting in a kitchen. Basically, it's a stove. They could have expanded the house, just made it bigger with adding bedrooms, and they would have been in compliance. Just another room added to the house.
Right.
The only thing they would have had to revise would have been the septic anyway, because they increased bedrooms.
But that makes it a separate unit.
They do have a kitchen, so it is a separate unit. So I correct myself on that.
Any more questions, Council?
I guess I have one, Mr. President.
Stephen?
If you don't, well, evidently he's built and he thinks that, or he thought that he was okay on what he had built. In other words, the uses. I see in here that there's a hint that it might be occupied by employees. And is there any, you know, does that pose any problem? Does it become something different? In other words, what if he does that and he wants to move it, go somewhere else, and just rent the whole thing to employees? What would he have to come back for?
He wouldn't have to come back.
Would
basically
come
if
back?
You grant the approval, he's approved for two units on that property.
Uh-huh.
There's two living units, two kitchens.
Right.
Who lives in the units, you can't say. It could be the family. Originally he said it was he and his wife living in the house unit, his son living in the garage. Before the hearing was over, they said there was a reference that he may allow for his employees to live in that unit.
Or the whole
it could either way
unit.
If you get the approval.
Uh-huh. So he doesn't have to it's not part of our consideration is that his family lives there.
A number of years ago when I initiated that garage apartment thing, it was for affordable housing. It would be like a component of affordable housing. It would provide housing for employees of some of these small businesses or family members or whatever. So it really wasn't designed to help, you know, to have grandpa living in the house with you. It was basically to the cost of upkeep of a house can be expensive. It would give somebody the advantage of being able to have a little income-producing, component to their residential property. And it can provide, like I said, a component of affordable housing, for a lot of the workforce. It's single and whatever and in the area. So, but I would like to see if we could talk about the attached garage and unattached garage, because I'd rather see this at Board of Adjustment and having to go through all this stuff. So, but without any complaints, it's unincorporated. There's no homeowners association, correct?
No.
Any more questions, Council?
Yeah. I also noticed what you're
Wilson.
Been talking here. The neighbors had no complaints in the hearing. I understand.
There were no comments either in writing or public comments of either public hearing in support or in opposition to the application.
And the way this is written, Sam, they can't tear it down and build two townhouses.
I also understand right. Natural Resources has no problem with it, so they've already approved it.
Now they have.
So I don't understand why we just don't vote on it.
Well, we're trying to. The question, too many questions.
We're allowing questions, Mr. Wilson.
Which you just had one.
Yeah, you're holding things up, Sam.
Any more questions?
Joan, last chance.
Mr. Moore, read a short title, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 22,500 square feet, more or less.
Pleasure, Council.
Mr. President, I do have a question. We do not have any conditions for approval in front of us.
But we do not.
And I would suggest that it would be better for us all to be looking at the same page. And I would suggest that we probably should be deferring on it and giving council a week to put together some conditions for approval. And the attorney just put his thumbs up saying that's not a bad idea. So.
Motion, Mr. Cole, to defer for 1 week.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Deaver. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes, Mr. Carey. Thank you, Mr. Lang.
Thank you.
Mr. Moore, I guess you'll work on that.
Yes, sir, will.
Opposed any ordinances, Mr. Moore?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an MRRPC medium density residential district residential plan community to a MRRPC medium density residential district residential plan community for the purpose of correcting the number of units for a certain parcel of land lying being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 385 acres, more or less, and it's in Mr. Cole's district.
Yes, I'll introduce it.
Mr. Cole, introduce it.
That was the only one, Mr. President.
Council member comments. Council member comments. Any comments from council?
Members.
Council members. Okay, I will. We had our monthly Delaware League Local Government meeting last Thursday evening, and as usual, I attended that on behalf of the council. Our guest speaker was Secretary David Small from DENREC. With a half-hour report on a number of issues they're working on, and one of the things he talked about was the how good a job that the dunes that replaced had done on the coast last week with the storm, and they're concerned about the ability to have a sustainable path forward to fund those projects. And in my interpretation only, he didn't say this, my interpretation only is that as they move forward, they are going to be looking for funding help for those areas that are not in incorporated areas from the counties.
And the towns, too. Towns
well, but the towns are incorporated.
Right, right.
Unincorporated areas have no town.
But some of the towns, Mike, they did explain.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes,
do participate and have some funding mechanism that they've already implemented. Right.
Just make everybody aware, because as he talked, these are millions and millions and millions of dollar projects. They are not small. And right now the funding is 65 federal, 35 local. And DENREC's been doing most of that money with state money, but that might not be able to hold up over the long term. So just making everybody aware of what I heard. So down the road something comes up, you won't say, I didn't know anything about that.
What I've already heard was district, they want to raise gasoline tax too. They want to raise more taxes.
Well, that had nothing to do with this thing. It's a separate issue. He's making everybody aware of
the dunes.
I have a question about that.
Mrs. Deaver.
Did I understand you to say that these people at the meeting say that they've maintained the dunes on their beaches?
No,
ma'am. Oh, because where I'm looking, you're wiped out.
Where they had rebuilt dunes, they held up pretty well in the storm.
Not
Mrs. Deaver, I'm not a dune expert.
I'm just saying, I don't know where they're talking about.
I assume they,
I'm going to pipe up for Slaughter Beach. No more dunes.
They never rebuilt the beach at Slaughter Beach, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. They had a 3-foot drop. They had natural dunes and sand dunes.
Any more comments from council?
I just, Mr. President, to that point, if they're looking for us to at some point in time to help that funding mechanism, I would only ask that we have some input on how that money is spent to hold them accountable to ensure how what is being spent is accurate and proper and responsible. That is only my point.
Any more comments from council?
Well, I believe in also a user's fee. If people's going to come from other parts of the state to move in here, let's charge them money for coming after on the dunes.
So you want to charge somebody from Georgetown who wants to ride to the beach, you want to charge them $2 or $3? Sure. I don't want to charge people anything.
I know, George, you like
but
that.
But let me just point out this to the council.
You've got
real quick, this is a good tidbit. 60% at one time, and it may still be the same. I don't know, our assessment people are, but anyway, 60% of the tax base is 1 mile from that Atlantic Ocean in. 1 mile. So we benefit so much from the property taxes and the impact and what we have with coastal Sussex County. So like agriculture, Sam, we need to protect things that are revenue generating. Agriculture brings in $5 billion. Next thing is tourism. When where is the tourism in the beach area? Where is the high assessments? Where does the bulk of our transfer tax come from, Mr. Todd? Where does our or Gina? Somebody right? Where the beach? Yes. So folks, let me tell you something. You get that money out of the beach, we might have to step up to the plate. We might have a little responsibility in this. But like Mr. Arlett says, we want to make sure that we know where the money's going and make sure it's spent properly.
But George, since they take in so much money from the beach, why don't they let them pay their own way?
No, Sam, it helps you.
Us.
I'm trying to explain to you, Sam.
Any more comments from council?
It helps you, buddy.
I'm certainly glad I reported out on that meeting.
Thank you.
Yes, you did. Bring it up again.
I have learned my lesson, trust me. I've learned my lesson.
I'll try to give a fluky report. We're still waiting for our first meeting of the year of the land trust. And so there's there had been a death in, I say, the family, and it was a reason, I think, why we haven't scheduled yet.
And then motion for executive session 4, collective bargaining, personnel, and pending litigation.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlett. Second, Mr. Wilson, to go into executive session for collective bargaining, personnel, and pending litigation. Any question on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deep.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.